Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and all this week, WNYC is reporting on health and health care in the Bronx as part of a series called Prescription for the Bronx. In writing, that's RX for the BX. The Bronx was recently named the least healthy county in all of New York State by a Robert Wood Johnson Foundation study. One out of seven low-income people in New York City is a home health care worker, and many of them live and work in the Bronx. And for lots of reasons, including but not limited to the Affordable Care Act, the industry is now undergoing big changes. So here with me to discuss some of these changes are Carol Rodat, New York Policy Director for PHI Policy Works. That's a think tank that works on home health care aid issues. Ansel Alexander, a peer mentor who works with home health aides, and Carmen Zeno, home health aide, herself. Karen, Ansel, Carmen, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
And Carmen, you're a home health aide who I understand works in the Bronx. So tell us a little bit about the day-to-day work on the job for people who may not be familiar with the job.
Okay. What do you want to know first?
Well, when do you get to work?
Oh, I get to work at 8 o'clock. I work for 8 to 8, 12 hours.
What do you do first?
First, when I walk in I went to my patient house. Oh, I greet them, go and wash my hands, and take care of what I have to do to care, and ask her how she's doing. She wants to start now, and she's not ready, so I could wait. And we sit down and talk a little bit and take care of her, ask her what she wanted to want to do today, day by day, and she asked me she would tell me what she wanted to eat, what she wanted, where we going, so going someplace, and that's it.
So it's not medical care per se that you're delivering. Mm-hmm. It's assistance to people who don't have the physical
exactly.
capacity anymore to do the basic things to take care of themselves. What kind of training goes in
okay.
to you as a home health care aide?
Okay, first of all, you have to know what you're doing. You have to know, follow the rules. And is that what I do is with my patient, I help her to come up from the bed because it's a bed bound and chair bound. I have to use my Hoya lift to bring her out of the bed.
A lift to
yes.
bring her out of the bed?
Yes.
Is that a mechanical thing
yes,
or just your strength?
No, it's a mechanical.
Uh-huh.
Before that, I had to give her a bath and bed because she cannot move. She's waist bound, with the waist down, she's paralyzed. The only thing she could help me, you know, move the arms, talk to me, and that's it. So after I do that with her, what I do is after I finish giving a bath, whatever I have to do, I put it together, I put in the sling, dress up, put in the sling, and take it out of the bed with the Hoya lifts.
8 to 8.
Mm-hmm.
How many hours a day?
12.
I mean, I'm sorry. How many? I could do that math. I meant to ask.
How many days a week? 4 days.
4 days a week.
Yes.
So
mm-hmm.
12 times 4, 48 hours
yes.
a week. Ansel, you're a peer mentor who works with home health care aides in the Bronx, I understand. Where do you fit in an AIDS training? And how do you train people like Carmen to do such personal, intimate work as this?
Well, excuse me. Before the AIDS is placed with a client, they have a training. There's a training that takes place at cooperative that the AIDS and them go through, and they're trained to do Hoya lift, to do bed bath, to position clients, especially bedbound clients. Where my training comes in when I these new trainees is to support them for the 3 months that they are transitioning from the training into home care. And when I say support them is that with Hoya lift, sometimes the aides and them are using Hoya lift, and when they go to a client home, they may have a different Hoya lift.
That's that device called the Hoya
the
lift
device, the Hoya
to
lift
get people out of the bed client. Into the chair, that
into
kind of thing.
Into the chair, yes.
Right.
And they may have an electric Hoya lift, or they may have a different type of sling that they have not used in the training. So we go, I as a peer mentor, go out and support the aides to assist them and to show them how to use these.
Right, and that's some very technical
Hoya
training. Do you provide emotional mentoring also? I imagine, and I'll ask Carmen too, and I'll ask our other guests.
Yes, that is.
To be in this kind of intimate relationship with another person,
mm-hmm.
of limited capacity for 12 hours a day, 4 days a week, there must be a very strong emotional element to it.
Oh, yes, there sure is. And this is a payment is where we come in, where we give the aid support, and they come in and they speak with us and tell us how they're feeling, what they're going through. And that is with the support that we give them.
What do you hear? What do you hear most commonly?
So sometimes they most commonly they think that, well, this is not the job for them. Sometimes they don't, because they go there and they let sometimes their emotions, they get too much. Let's say that their emotions, they overwhelm them. And they don't think that this is a job for them because they may not be the right person for that client.
Because it's hard to
do their job.
Hard to be with a person who's that disabled for so many hours, to see somebody in that bad shape, or what's the emotional fallout?
What's the emotional fallout?
Challenge.
The challenge, well, for themselves is that they let their feelings get in the way of sometimes taking care of the client.
Carmen, how about for you?
Oh, for me, it's not easy.
Not easy.
It is easy.
It is easy.
I've been working with my patient for 11 years, so I know exactly her ways. When she's down, I know what to lift the spirit. When she cried, and I said, "Why are you crying for it? Nothing to cry about. You know, I'm not going to cry with her." So we sit down together. We laugh. We cry. I mean, like I say, we do everything together. I don't cry with her, but I make it feel that even though things are bad, it's not that bad as it seems to be. So it's another day. Whatever I thought all the time that whatever it is, a dark cloud is always a shiny star.
Sounds like people could use you as their home health aides, as their cousins, as their friends, as their sisters. 212-433-WNYC. If any other home health care aides are listening right now, 212-433-WNYC. Talk about your day, your work at this very personal and difficult job in the Bronx or elsewhere. What's the pay like? We heard that until recently, when Obamacare went into effect, at least one-third of you didn't even have health insurance. And we'll get into some of the policy issues and some of the changes in the industry as a result of policy in just a second here. But home health aides, welcome to call in at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, as part of our series, Prescription for the Bronx. Carol Rodat, New York Policy Director for PHI Policy Works. New York State began a redesign of its Medicaid reimbursement program, I understand, before the Affordable Care Act was implemented. What are the changes in a nutshell, and how does it affect the home health care industry and people like our other guests?
Dating back to 2000, New York began to transfer people from what we call fee-for-service system, individual home care programs, into managed long-term care plans. And the idea was that we would coordinate the care and provide care management across a wide array of services. In 2010, we began to transfer in New York City the majority of our clients who needed long-term care, 120 days of home and community-based care. And today we have 31 managed long-term care plans in New York, 25 of which are in New York City. And I would say that the majority of the home and community-based services in New York City are now under a managed long-term care plan. So, in essence, what New York has been doing is, under the slogan of care management for all, it has been taking people and putting them into plans with the idea that they would get more of their needs met by better coordination, better management of chronic care, better overall management of their illnesses.
Is that to say that there are more home health aides, or that they are a bigger piece of people's long-term health care pictures than they have been in the past, as opposed to, say, nursing homes once they get to a certain state of decline?
Well, 3 out of every $4 that we're spending in managed long-term care is spent on home and community-based care. And it is the intention of the state, and it's been said many times that consumers wish to remain in their homes. So it is the intention that we push our services out towards home and community-based services. And with respect to the aid workforce, that has always been one of the largest groups of workers in New York City. We have over 150,000 aides in New York City. We have more aides than we have police, than we have teachers, than we have doctors or nurses. And that workforce is expecting the greatest degree of growth of almost any other in the city, of 47% growth or higher.
Let's take a call. Reuben in the Bronx. You're on WNYC. Hi, Reuben.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. You're a former home health aide, I understand?
Yeah, I'm state certified. I was state certified as a CNA, certified nurse's aide, and certified as a home health aide. This was when I was like, I'm 40 now. I was like, what, am I 22, 23?
Uh-huh. And what do you recall about it that's important?
What's important is that when I was doing it, I mean, I heard you guys talking about, you know, when you're dealing with a client, you get close to them. I mean, I got close to one of my guys and he passed on. That's why I technically left the business.
Uh-huh.
Because I couldn't take it no more. You really get close to these guys and you can't help it. You cannot help it but to get close to them. You're with them for so many years. I mean, you can't help it.
And so experiencing that death is not something you wanted to do over and over again.
Exactly.
For your career.
Yeah, exactly.
So you went into something else.
Yeah, I'm in construction now. There's a whole different ballgame. I'm in construction. I'm painting now.
Building for the future. Reuben, thank you very much. Good luck out there. Carmen, how do you deal with that? Have you had previous clients to your current one, and have any of them passed away during your care?
No.
You haven't gone through that?
Nothing, no. I haven't gone through that. You know, I don't know why. Maybe because the person that I've been for so many years, I don't have no other patient. I just do. I find the same someplace else, I would go. But I've been with her for nothing, not yet.
And Ansel, is that part of the training to help people get ready to deal with loss?
I'm sorry, excuse me. Could you repeat the question?
Yes. I don't know if you were able to hear the caller, but it's part of the training of a home health aide to help them be prepared to deal with the death of their client and that grief.
Yes, that is part of our support group also, that we support the aides and them because they get so close to the client, and is when they lose that client, it comes like if they're losing somebody that they personally, family member. So it is. There's not much of a difference, really, because if you are that close to someone and you lose that person, you feel the grief and the pain just as if they are part of your family.
Mike,
and then some of these. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Yes.
I'm going to say
some of these. The aides, and they work with the client a long time, and they become part of the family.
Mike in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mike.
Hi. How are you doing? I'm
good.
Talking with all of these talking, whereas working with the patients for 12 hours a day, 4 days a week, for 11 years. The salary after 11 years, how much does an aide get working with that patient for 11 years?
You tell me.
It doesn't pass 12, it doesn't pass $13 an hour after 11 years. You might be lucky.
Carol Rodat, true.
Yes, one of the benefits of what New York has done recently is to pass a law called the Wage Parity Law, which improved the wages of the home health aides on average by $3,000, so that they now make in wages and benefits $1,409 an hour. But he makes a good point, because the other policy initiative that we've been working on at PHI is to create an advanced aide role or a senior aide role where they make more money and have a career ladder ahead of them so that we can make better use of the aides in the home.
Even at that, $14.09 an hour, is that what you said?
Well, it's $10 an hour in wages. It's another $4.09 in benefits.
You know, that movement that's out there now for
yes.
McDonald's
yes.
workers,
yes.
fast food workers,
right.
to make $15 an hour. That's before benefits. Why do you think, any of the three of you, and Mike, if you're still there, you can chime in on this too. Why do you think the market values so little home health care aides, mostly for the elderly, and child care workers for the young? These human services positions, caring for the people we say we love the most, our parents and our children and our ill spouses, why do we pay bankers millions to shuffle money and pay you guys $10 an hour? Any guess, Carmen?
No, a good question. That's a good question.
Mike, you thinking about this?
Brian, can I say something?
You bet.
We are more evil. We are more attached. In other words, the work that we are carrying out, we are more attached to the patient more than the registered nurse. We know the patient in and out more than the registered nurse, the nurse that visited nurse that comes in, and the salary that we are getting. Working for an agency for 8 years, you might be lucky if you get $14. Right? If you do research within the various agencies today, trust me, what she's saying is totally contrary to the truth.
How can you change it, Mike?
Pardon me?
How can you change it?
Maybe do like what the from fast food people do, demonstrate.
Michael,
at the end of the day, the patient gonna suffer. But as you look, Brian.
Yes.
Normally, you would say we are falling in the category of essential service.
Essential service. You can't argue with that, Carol Rodette.
Right. And I think as we go forward, when there is a lack of workers, we will begin to do what we need to do in economics, which is increase the wages and benefits.
It's supply and demand.
It's supply and demand.
But unfortunately, it doesn't take a lot of formal education. And so in a city of many, many immigrants with limited English or limited ability to apply their educations in this country or whatever – the supply and demand does not work in favor of the worker and probably won't.
That is true in New York City, but I will tell you this, that you cannot work as a home care aide for an agency unless you have documentation that you are a legal immigrant or are a documented person, and you must be fingerprinted as well. So it's not that everyone can step into these jobs unless they are hired directly by a family that needs care. I would not defend the 1409. I think that is only the beginning, and we're going to have to increase the wages and benefits.
We're almost out of time. How is Obamacare impacting the industry?
Obamacare has impacted our industry, particularly our workforce and our New Yorkers, because we have enrolled over 900,000 people now in insurance in this state. We estimated we had 1.1 million that we needed to cover. Obamacare has provided some additional monies for the state to experiment in terms of home and community-based services, so we can increase the wages and we can increase the number of people that work in home care and we can increase the number of people that are served in our communities.
I just want to read a couple of comments that came in as we wrap this up. D-Boy on our website, after listening to Carmen, says, Carmen is a saint and deserves Lloyd Blankfein's paycheck. He's the head of a big bank. And another commenter, Josie from Mott Haven, writes, I am a visiting nurse in the Bronx, and the home health aides are an essential lifeline for our patients. They are vastly undercompensated for the level of care they provide. It is a thankless job. As a nurse, I am humbled in the presence of many of these hardworking and dedicated individuals.
Thank you.
So, Ansel and Carmen and Carol, thank you all very much for joining us today. And since so many home health aides work in the Bronx, this is the beginning of our contribution this week to the WNYC series, Prescription for the Bronx, which will be airing on our various shows all this week. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.